Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Another hour with you for Sports Open Line, and then many more hours with you because the Cardinals play late tonight in L.A. We've got Cardinals pregame at about 8:15, and then I'll be with you for that, and also Cardinals postgame, which last night after a very, very quick game ended about 12:40 in the morning, so who knows? We might go past 1 o'clock in the morning tonight. Very happy to welcome on to the program. He is our friend. He is a sports anchor and reporter over at Channel 5 KSDK. He is Corey Miller. Corey, appreciate the time as always. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. Great to be with you instead of our normal spot where we see each other, me stealing your seat in the Busch Stadium press box because it has a much better view than mine is. So it's nice to connect on here.
Is it really that much better, that seat, compared to the one seat to the right?
Well, that one seat to the right is not actually my seat either. I'm technically on the second row back there that does not have as great a view, you know, during a nice St. Louis summer day with the sunset and whatnot. So I sneak down in the front row when there's an open spot.
Okay, and we'll open up the curtain a little bit. I get up there a little bit late because I'm wrapping up pregame and everything, so I generally get in there maybe bottom of the first, top of the second, bottom of the second. Very often you are in the seat, and you always say you'll move, and I always tell you I don't care, and I'll sit in the seat to the right, and sometimes you move, and sometimes you don't, and it really doesn't matter to me at all, but you are kind to always be willing to move.
Well, you know, it always usually works out. There's usually a FanDuel spot open up there. You know, Jim Hayes is busy out and about, so I usually just slide over to his spot.
There you go. The dynamics of watching a Cardinals game as a media member from the press box. We haven't talked to you in a while. Obviously, it's been a very eventful last few weeks for the Cardinals, trade deadline, everything else that has taken place. Just from a we'll get into some more specific things in a moment, but considering the fact that a month ago, month and a half ago, this Cardinals team looked like a team that was very much contending for a playoff spot. And you fast forward, and they've been under 500 a couple times here over the last week or so. They had to trade at the deadline. How do you view like everything that has happened over the last few weeks?
I think if at the beginning of the season you would have said, we're sitting here and the Cardinals are 500, you would have said, yeah, that sounds about right. But with just the swings of emotion and swings of wins and losses, it feels a lot more frustrating than that because this is not a bad team. We've seen them play really great baseball at times, and we've seen them play some pretty bad baseball at times, and of course that all evens out to a 500 record. But the swings have been so kind of drastic that it just leaves you wanting more, and then at the deadline, what everybody thought would happen happened exactly as planned, and no real big surprises or anything. So just kind of still stuck in the center here where not bad enough to, you know, sell everything off and try and start over, and not good enough to realistically think there's a chance at the postseason. I mean, you look at the standings and technically there is if they happen to go on a run, but everything we've seen so far kind of signals that's not going to happen. So it's just kind of this weird middle ground that you know, we've kind of become accustomed to over the last couple years.
Yeah, Oliver Marmol has talked about that, about how he wants to see the organization get to a point where they're not in that middle ground anymore, that they are a team that can go out and feel like they are going to win, and they can win on every single night. And but, I mean, you're right. It's the last 2 years, it's been middle ground, middle ground, middle ground. I don't totally know. I don't know about you. I'm curious about what the messaging is going to be at the end of the season with Heim Bloom, because there is a possibility, and you look at what just happened with the trade deadline and the number of A-level players that came in who are 2, 3, 4 years away from the big leagues. I do wonder if there's going to be any messaging around this being more of a long-term project.
That's a good point, and that's what I think a lot of people were thinking about at the deadline. As you mentioned, the guys they got back, other than maybe Blaze Jordan, who you might see sooner than some of the other guys, this is long-term, you know, kind of, I don't want to say projects, but long-term guys where you're not counting on them for a while. The guys you're have at the major league level right now, you're kind of locked in with those guys. You didn't really trade anybody at the deadline. You know, obviously not maybe the older players like Arenado or even Contreras or Gray, if they decide they don't, you know, they're ready to be traded during the offseason. But the guys you have are the guys you're going to have, it seems like. So I don't know what the messaging quite is going to be at the end of the year. And I don't know if the fan base is really going to be excited for it either.
It does feel like at times they're trying to serve two gods, where they want to be at least competitive at the big league level while also putting a lot of their resources in the minor league level. And I understand that, and I think you want to go out and win games, but to me it almost feels like some fans would maybe be more understanding of the rebuild if maybe it didn't feel like they were, you know, relatively close at the big league level.
Yeah, and it's a thing where you've already had a couple seasons that you really don't like. So if you start if you want to say the rebuild world now, why didn't it happen and start maybe 2 years ago, where you could have been further along in this process, if you want to look at it,
yeah,
if you want to look at it that way. So it's just that weird kind of don't know where you're at. You're still giving these guys a shot, but do you like what you see from all of them so far? You know, it's incomplete grades on a lot of these guys still so far. I did a commentary a couple weeks ago on Sports Plus on Sunday night when I hosted. They have to develop a homegrown star. They have to. That's kind of the thing that's looking everybody in the face right here. You have to start developing guys that, oh, I kind of like this guy. No, you got to develop a star at some point. Because I don't think it's coming from outside the organization. And, heck, they tried. They got Nolan Arenado. They got Paul Goldschmidt. And together, those guys did not win a playoff game together. So they've tried it every which way. And until they develop a real homegrown star, I think, or two, a couple of them, I think we're going to be in the same kind of holding pattern.
You hit on my biggest thing right now, that the talent at the top for the Cardinals versus the talent at the top for the really good teams, that's where the gap is. This team has good players that you can win with, that you can win with a Brendan Donovan, you can win with a Wilson Contreras, you can win with a Von Herrera. It's just those guys can't be your very top of the roster. You've got to have legit stars, legit all-stars, legit difference makers at the top of your roster, and it's been a little while since the Cardinals have had that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking on different rosters around the league the other day. Well, they've got them. They developed them. They got this guy. Why can't the Cardinals develop somebody? And listen, I'm not throwing in the towel on a lot of these guys. Like, if there is one Jordan Walker fan left in the world, it's going to be me, because I'm never going to give up on him no matter what. Yvonne Herrera, you know, he certainly with the bat looks like he's going to be a guy you could hopefully build around. Got to find him a position for sure. And then a couple other guys who you're still just hoping and holding out hope for. But that's a bad place to be if you want to compete. So it's just, like I said, it's not a great place to be.
Yeah, hope can't be a strategy. And at times it feels like it is. And I don't know. I still like this team. The thing I challenge myself with hosting this show every night is a lot of the things going on with this team has sort of a negative feel to it. I still like a lot of these players. I still think they play a fun brand of baseball often, not always, but often. You know, yesterday's game, that was about as entertaining of a baseball game as you're going to get. So we can sit here and we can talk about the things that are not going right while also acknowledging the fact there are some good things about this team all at the same time.
Absolutely. That goes back to kind of what I was saying earlier. Like last night's game, that was awesome. That's against the Dodgers, you know, a World Series favorite. They put on an awesome performance, Sonny Gray, all the way down to Yoel Pozo once again. And this team has moments in them, and they can reach the highest of highs, but not, you know, on a consistent basis that you'd like. And that's just the most frustrating thing about it, because you see it's there, and you see it in spurts, but you don't see it for long enough to really believe that they could put something together to compete in the postseason.
Yeah, the roller coaster nature right now, especially of what they're doing from an offensive standpoint, yeah, against San Diego, they score the 9 runs in the first game, and they don't score more than 3 runs in the final 2 games. And the series against Miami, they score 7 in the first game. They get shut out in the final 2 games. The series in San Diego, same deal. That second game, they put up 8 runs, and then outside of a 9th inning rally in the final game, they score 1. Like, and I know that's true across all of Major League Baseball to a certain extent, but man, does it feel more pronounced with this Cardinals team.
Yeah, it does for sure. And, you know, I'm sitting here watching a bit of this Reds and Cubs game right now, and it's got me thinking about what the rest of this season looks like. I mean, Wrigley Field is a Tuesday night, and it is just totally packed. Mm-hmm. And I'm tuning in. I watched the Rockies game, or part of the Rockies game the other day. It was totally packed. I'm watching the Mets. It's just, I'm really worried for what this is going to look like down the stretch, because this is, you know, not a one-year blip thing anymore. This has happened a couple years in a row, and I just want to get back to being excited to go to the ballpark, just feeling that energy, because when it's there, it's as good as, if not, you know, better than anywhere else around the league. And I'm seeing it other places. People are hungry for baseball again around the country. And I just wish that appetite could be fulfilled here a little more.
That was actually going to be the last thing that I asked you about, so it leads right into it. I lament so often exactly what you said. I mean, those games against San Diego, it's a party at Padres games, and people are having so much fun, and the games at Wrigley Field, everything. And I do. I watch those games, and I just think to myself, man, I want to experience this again in St. Louis.
It just, it stinks. I mean, we were talking in the sports office, I guess, the other day. More than the other day, I guess, when the Cardinals were at Wrigley, whatever the last time was. I was like, when was the last time Busch Stadium had this kind of juice to it? And this is just a regular season Cardinals-Cubs game at Wrigley Field. And I thought, gosh, maybe when Juan Yepes hit that homer against the Phillies in the postseason, however, was that, you know, 4 years ago now or whatever it was? It's right there. It's ready to be captured, and it stinks that it's not, because we all know what it felt like. We've seen it. It's happened before. It used to happen all the time, and maybe we got too used to it, and now that it's been gone for a little bit, everybody's taking it pretty hard. But man, it just feels like it's right there, ready to be captured again.
Yeah, hopefully it's back sooner than later. Corey, what are you guys working on right now for viewers to check out on Channel 5?
Well, you know, actually tomorrow I am getting in the car. I'm heading up to Champaign, Illinois to interview Brett Bielema, coach of Illini football. They've got a lot of good buzz around them to start this season. And, you know, I'm sure I'll be at Mizzou camp here a couple times before their season kicks off. Lots of college football intrigue around the area. Pretty much no matter who you're pulling for, you should have a good product to enjoy. So we're getting ready for college football season and high school football season as well. We got our long show starting again, 5 on Your Sideline on August 29th. So it's about to be football weather and football season around St. Louis.
Isn't it nice when both Missouri and Illinois football are completely and totally relevant?
I love it. And, you know, I went to Mizzou and people think I, you know, don't like the Illini. I want everybody to be good.
Yeah.
It gives me more things to talk about. It's infinitely more interesting. So I'm really excited for this football season, because we could have two programs that, you know, have outside shots at making the 12-team playoff, I think.
He is Corey Miller. Check him out on Channel 5. You can follow him on Twitter at Corey_Miller5. Corey, thanks for the time. We'll see you at the ballpark when the team's back in town.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
You bet. That's Corey Miller joining us on the program. We appreciate him spending a few moments with us tonight. We'll take a break, and we're going to jump back into what Oliver Marmol had to say today during the Gashouse Gang, and I'll give you my thoughts on that. You can always chime in, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can comment on the video chat. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. Lots of ways to get connected with the program. We're back with more in a moment on KMOX.
Now, back to the Graybar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
We are back as we roll on for another 35 minutes or so, and then we'll get into Cardinals baseball after the 8 o'clock news. Welcome back into the program. As always, you can chime in, 314-436-7900.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or leave a comment on the video chat, and we'll get to that as we roll along. Wanted to get into this. What we're doing today is we are going back through much of what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol said during his weekly conversation on the Gashouse Gang, and talking through some of the different things that he mentioned today. And just where this team goes moving forward, I think, is a really key point, because they still want to win games this year, but there are also other things that they want to accomplish in terms of getting guys playing time and still learning more about players and things like that. So Ollie was asked specifically on opportunities post-deadline, and if maybe the lineup and the pitching decisions would actually look different after they make the moves where they didn't buy, they sold, they made the team worse at the trade deadline. And I thought this was interesting what he had to say, because from his perspective, as you'll hear him saying, not a whole lot changes.
Not a whole lot changes from my perspective. If you look at what I've been tasked with this year, it was make sure that there's growth within our young guys, our young core, and that we continue to our staff be head down and developing them to get them to the next level of their career, and win as many games along the way. Not a whole lot changes in being able to give these guys opportunities and continue to do exactly that, which is grow the heck out of them. So I was asked basically, hey, what does this look like moving to next year? I mean, I feel like the whole year has been that. We've just been able to win a little bit more games than people expected, which made it interesting. But nothing from my seat changes in giving these guys opportunity. Now with our pen, having Mats and Phil and Helsley gone, it does provide a ton of opportunity for some young guys to show what they're capable of doing. And we'll mix and match and see them in different environments and leverage situations to see how they respond to it. I mean, you look at outside of JoJo, there is a lot of dudes in that pen with less than a year of service. So it's a great opportunity for them, and that's the way they should view it from a position player standpoint. The rotation is not easy, and we can talk a little bit about it, Bernie, but you have Jordan, who needs playing time. You need Newt, who needs playing time. You got Burley out there. You got Vic, who's trying to figure it out. And you're rotating these guys through. But by rule, they only let me play three of them in the outfield. So on any given day, you're going to be mad about the one that's sitting. And you can ask, why does he have an off day today? It's because I have to sit in one of them. So in my opinion, Burley's done a phenomenal job, deserves to be an everyday player. He has – you talk about a player that has been head down and just taking – advantage of every opportunity given. He's one of them, and he has solidified himself as an everyday player. And then we need to rotate the other guys in order to give them at bats, and hopefully they start to take to it. So that's the way I view it at the moment.
And really, outside of the fact that the bullpen looks different, that's the key thing here. The bullpen looks different because three high leverage relievers got moved out. So you have to, somebody has to cover those innings. And as he said, an opportunity is a word that you're going to hear a lot between now and game 162. This is where the opportunity presents itself for the Riley O'Briens, the Matt Svensons, the Andre Granillos, these young guys who don't have a whole lot of major league service time, what they're going to be able to do here moving forward. And it's going to be, that's actually an area I joke. I like to say I'm self-aware. I joke about my shortcomings sometimes. One of my shortcomings when it comes to evaluating baseball is I fall in love with the with like relief pitchers. Like, I think they're just going to develop into awesomeness. And I love this group of relief pitchers that the Cardinals have right now, even without Ryan Helsley and Phil Maton and Steven Matz. And those guys were great. This is not a shot at them whatsoever. They did an amazing job. But I'm really excited about what we're going to see from Riley O'Brien. I love what we've seen from Matt Swanson. Andre Granillo, what a great story. A guy who really came on this year at AAA and just kept continuing to deal in big ways to a point where he finally gets the big league opportunity and he's been able to do a nice job with that. Like, so last night, and I know O'Brien gives up a run, he gives up a leadoff double, and then to the Dodgers' credit, they're able to do what you're supposed to do. And that when you have a runner on at second and you have nobody out and you need one run, you find a way to get that run in. And that's what the Dodgers did. And that's credit to the Dodgers. And I wish the Cardinals were able to do that more often than they do. But that's what it was yesterday. That was the leadoff double and just getting a guy around. I don't think Riley O'Brien pitched poorly. He just gave up a double to a team that can execute getting a runner home from second on a no-out situation, and that's exactly what went on, and O'Brien was fine. Romero, we know who he is, but now it's another chance for him to get these higher leverage opportunities. He's going to get the opportunity for a lot of saves. So that's the only change, according to Ollie. The goal of getting guys playing time and all that sort of stuff, which we talked about earlier with Nolan Gorman, it still exists and it can be a challenge. Now, I like the lineup tonight. I think this lineup has the opportunity to accomplish a lot of things. The lineup tonight, and we'll talk more about this when we get into Cardinal pregame, it has both Gorman and Walker in it. Gorman's batting seventh at third and Walker is batting ninth in right field. And then Pozo is catching. This lineup tonight, because Newt Barr's playing center field, I think this lineup is the one that actually gives you the best chance to score the most amount of runs right now. Donovan leading off, Herrera's the DH batting second, Burleson's in left batting third, Contreras at first base batting fourth, Newt Barr in center field batting fifth, Wynn the shortstop batting sixth, Nolan Gorman at third base batting seventh, Pozo catching batting eighth, Walker in right field batting ninth. If the goal is to score the most amount of runs and the goal is to give certain players as much playing time as possible, namely Walker and Gorman, this lineup that has been written down tonight for the Cardinals, I think accomplishes those goals. If this was the lineup that was used most often between now and the end of the season, I think that is what I would very much be in favor of. Continuing to talk through kind of what it looks like here moving forward, one of the things that's been talked about a lot all season and going into the season was this being the runway year, and the idea of it being a runway year was you were going to learn about players. Now, I would contend that it hasn't really been that, right? That, and I don't know really what you've learned. I think you've learned something about Alec Burleson, and I think you've learned something about Matthew Liberatore. And outside of that, I don't know what anybody's done this year that you didn't really kind of already know or expect. I guess you can throw Ivan Herrera in there, but Herrera, you knew was going to be a plus offensive player. You could throw Joel Pozo in there, but he wasn't with the organization. So you were going to be learning about him no matter what. I don't think the expectations of, you know, this year being a year where you were going to all of a sudden learn all these things, that's actually played out that way. But Ali was asked today, what can you still learn about here in the final 2 months of the season?
You have a pretty good sense of the majority of the guys, of who, what they are and what they can do and what they can't do. But that doesn't mean the next 2 months aren't extremely important and continuing to evaluate growth, because our job's to get them better. So if there's something we feel like they can't do or haven't shown the ability to be consistent with it, then it's my job, it's our staff's job to find consistency in that. But you are starting to find out what the strengths and weaknesses are and what you're dealing with and how do they respond to pressure and the things of that nature. But yes, the next 2 months are definitely important.
What do you see?
I mean, take Sajacy, for example, right? He came up the first time and lit it up, was taking some really good at bats, driving the baseball over the field, making a lot of contact. Like, the chase rate was high and we needed to kind of get him to do a better job with just decision-making there. But for the most part, man, you look up and you see his average and his OPS and you feel good about what he was doing. Well, his second time around hasn't gone his way. So you can't get too high or too low. That's just a perfect example of not being sure just yet of what he's capable of doing.
That's Oliver Marmol talking to the Gas House Gang. Steve sends in a message. Steve, I hope you're watching along as we do this, because I'm going to ask you to send in another message if you can. Steve writes in, you also learned who doesn't have it too.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every every style, every home.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Have you? Who? That, and I'm not, like, Steve, I'm not trying to come at you, but and maybe I'm just missing something, but who have you learned that about? You haven't learned that about Nolan Gorman. He's had an up and down year. He still has that back issue. I think you're worried about that, but you've seen him flash the moments of him having that 30 home run potential and not maybe Nolan Arenado, if you want to put, we can put that, but I mean, that's not what this year was about. So that's not who the runway is for. So if we've learned that Nolan Arenado absolutely is on the decline, okay, I'll give you that, but that's not the point of the year. I don't think we've learned anything about Jordan Walker. Walker's still young, and he has those moments as well. Anybody wants to throw away Jordan Walker, and that doesn't mean Walker needs to stay on the big league team. If he starts to fall off again, because he looked really good, and I hope that continues on, but we've seen him go through those periods again. There's no guarantee that it's going to continue on. If there is a situation where it makes sense for Walker to be back at AAA, I don't have a problem with that. But Jordan Walker is incredibly young, and all the underlying numbers continue to say that this is a guy who has a chance to really explode and move forward. Now, maybe it doesn't happen for him, but I wouldn't throw him away. All right, Steve, I appreciate this. You mentioned Pedro Pages. I think we know that Pages is not a very good offensive player, and his greatest value comes from a defensive standpoint, the trust that the pitchers have in him, his ability to call a game, things like that. But Steve, I would argue back at you, we knew that, didn't we? That's nothing new. We knew that. He never profiled as a guy who was going to be a really good offensive player. So I guess that's the point that I'm trying to make in all this. What has happened this year to really change your opinion on somebody? And I don't think our opinion changes on Pedro Pais. Now, if he would have put together a spectacular offensive season, then the opinion changes because we hadn't seen that from him before and it wasn't expected. That's why maybe the opinion changes a little bit on Alec Burleson, because he had the slow end of the season last year and then the slow start to the year this year, and then he turned it on. And he made changes in what he's doing that were clear. He very much changed his approach at the plate in what he is going to swing at. Steve also mentions Victor Scott. He's still super young guy. Still super young guy. And I wouldn't say his upside isn't that high. If he is somebody that can start driving the ball a little bit with his speed. Now, do I think as highly of Scott's potential right now as I did at the beginning of the season? No. Like I would say his stock has come back a little bit for me. I'm not trying to run away from that, but I'm also not closed off to the fact that this is a guy who can still turn into a dynamic player. So that's the point that I'm trying to make, that I don't think they have really learned much about guys this year. There's things that have happened that lead you in a certain direction, but Victor Scott was terrible offensively last year. He's been terrible offensively this year, and my long-term feelings about him hasn't changed much. Maybe a little bit, but hasn't changed much. And Ali talked, maybe we'll play that when we come back, where Ali talked about the work that Scott's been doing to try to get better. We'll take a break, have more in just a moment. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Now, back to the Graybar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
We're taking you till 8 o'clock tonight. Then we'll get the 8 o'clock news with Maria, and then I'll be back with you for Cardinals pregame. Cardinals-Dodgers tonight, game two of a three-game series after the Cardinals win yesterday 3-2. Continuing to roll through some of the things that Oliver Marmol had to say today. We're playing his cuts from Gashouse Gang, and then I'm sort of giving my thoughts on it, and we're talking with some other folks as well about what they think of hearing all of it. I always find it interesting to listen to him on these Tuesdays, because I think he says more on these Tuesdays than he does in a lot of the other forums where he is speaking publicly. Let's talk about starting pitching, because the Cardinals have two veterans in the rotation in Sonny Gray and Miles Michaelis. Gray will be back next year. Right now, he's your number one starter. Miles Michaelis is not going to be back next year, barring something very unexpected happening. So you've got three young guys in Matthew Liberatore, who's been really fun to watch this year, Andre Pallante, who has been up and down, and Michael McGreevy, who's the guy who most recently got the opportunity. You want these three younger starters to have a solid final 2 months of the season, taking, if there is such a thing, taking some momentum into next year, certainly solidifying their spot. Like right now, as it sits at 7:45 p.m. on August 5th, I think you already go into next season with Matthew Liberatore and Michael McGreevy written in ink for the rotation next year. And I don't think you say that about Andre Pallante. I think he's somebody who probably still has to earn the job. That can change over what happens over these couple months. If Andre Pallante has a final 2 months of the season this year like he did last year, then he's somebody that you feel very comfortable with the rotation going in next season. Ali talked a lot about what those three young starters really need to do and what he would like to accomplish with them over these final 2 months.
I love that our three young guys are lined up back to back to back and being able to see them one night after another in Libby going and then McGreevy and then Pallante. Specific to those guys, Libby's done a nice job with what he's about and who he is and his preparation in between starts. I really like his process and overall approach to that. In between starts, he does a phenomenal job of giving himself the best shot and using his bullpens in between starts appropriately to attack either what he didn't do well or what he wants to continue to improve on moving forward. So I'm happy there. Just continuing to take a look at McGreevy, you look at how San Diego attacked him at home, man. Those righties and Tatis and Machado and Bogarts, they all just stayed inside of a sinker, shot him the other way. They had a very, very good approach against him. Cronenworth used a big part of the field. And there's not a whole lot he did about it that outing. He goes back to San Diego. They throw up some runs on him early. And then you can see he start blowing up some guys inside with the sinker, moving their feet a little bit, which kind of opened up the other side of the plate for him. And that's a good adjustment for a young guy, especially with – you got to think of – put yourself in his shoes. We have all the hit-by-pitches. The last thing he wants to do is kind of flare that up again and hit Machado or hit Bogarts or Tatis. But he said, the heck with it, man. It's part of my game. I got to move these guys' feet. He does it. He blows up Bogarts. And he starts to get on a little bit of a roll and starts to feel himself those last three innings. You can tell the demeanor, the overall presence and confidence was different the last three innings compared to the first three. That's a great adjustment for a young guy. Those are the things you're looking for, because then you double down on that. You give him some love for it and allow him to have that level of confidence going into his next one. And then with Pallante, man, we talked a decent amount about it. It's going to be there's not many guys in the league that are starters that have a three pitch mix. At times even a four pitch mix. Like, you start to break down starters across the league that have four pitches or less, and there's not many of them. So he's going to have to land his spin at a high rate in order to survive with that, because if you can eliminate one of them and then he's just a slider fastball mix, and that makes it difficult. So the sinker has helped. The curveball, when he's able to land it and expand with it, has helped. But that's the growth you're trying to see out of Pallante.
Interesting stuff right there, really rolling through those three guys. And I think the point he makes there about Pallante at the end, about how Major League Baseball has evolved to a point now where a lot of starters are going to have five or sometimes more pitches. You're going to have multiple variations of the fastball that you're going to be able to throw, doing a lot of different things. And the fact that Pallante doesn't have that, if all of a sudden one of those pitches isn't working, you become a two-pitch guy, and it can become a tough night. So something that he needs to make sure that those three pitches he does have, that there's a lot of consistency with them. And then what can you do to add some other variations? When we think about the rotation next year, you don't want to, as healthy as it's been this, they are ripe for a tough season when it comes to pitching injuries next year, because it's been so good this year, abnormally good. And you give the organization credit because they had a plan on what they wanted to do to keep pitching healthy. But you think about what's going to be available for them next year. Quinn Matthews is somebody that you would like to see get in there. And I mentioned this the other day. He had a really good last start at Memphis. If he can put three or four of those together, maybe you find a way to get him a start or two at the big leagues before this season comes to an end, if an opportunity presents itself, so he can kind of get his big league feet wet at the end of the year going into next season. maybe there is an opportunity to bring in somebody, probably via trade more than anything else. Maybe that's something that does happen. But Kyle Leahy is a guy who he does have all those pitches. And I think he profiles out as somebody who could be a starter. And Ollie gave his thoughts on the possibility of seeing Leahy as a starter both long-term, but also whether or not we might see that before this season comes to an end.
I think he can start. I think he has the pitch arsenal to do that. You also have to monitor his overall workload. Halfway through the year, he was probably the one that had a red flag of on pace for more than what we would want. So if you throw him into that rotation, I think you start butting up against that pretty quickly. But yes, that is an option. I like some of the adjustments he's made. This is a guy that he has enough pitches to get through a lineup several times through. And he has confidence in being able to do that as well. So I think it's a fair question and one that we continue to talk through.
That is Oliver Marmol from earlier today. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Only about a minute left here in the program. Thanks so much for being tuned in with us tonight. Hopefully you're not going anywhere because we've got a late night of baseball coming your way. The Cardinals and the Dodgers. If the Cardinals can come away with a win tonight, they will secure a series victory. They would also secure a 500 road trip. So there's certainly some stuff on the line. I'm most curious. We've seen this trend here recently where the Cardinals will have a good night and then they will not have a good night. can they follow up yesterday's good win with another good win this evening? For me, that's kind of the main talking point going into this game tonight, and we'll see how it all plays out. Pitching matchup, Cardinals have Miles Michaelis on the mound, 6-8, 4.83 ERA. He's been good recently, looking to continue that run he has been on. Right-hand pitcher Emmett Sheehan is going to go for the Dodgers. He is 2-2 with a 3.60 ERA. So Maria is going to have the news for you just after 8 o'clock, and then at about 8:15 or so, I am going to be back with you for Cardinals and Dodgers coverage right here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.